Morning, class. Well, I hope you enjoyed your exams last week. We're going to begin following up on our lessons on the three requirements of delegated authority. But I wanted to take a little review prior to getting to this last requirement and talk about the first two for a moment, just to bring us back up to speed. I know we've been off a week or so, but I want you to take this down in your notes, just as a reminder, so we can have all your notes together. So when I test again and this question comes up, the three requirements for delegated authority, you'll have all this information in one place to study. I'm trying to help you out, class. And so the three requirements, beginning with the first one, he must know that all authority comes from God. And every person who is called to be a delegated authority should remember that there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are set up by God. That's Romans 13, and we went over and over. Matter of fact, we taught that scripture in Romans 13 more than any scripture in this class. So all authority that do exist comes from God. So no one inherits authority. No one owns authority. No one can claim to be an authority except those that are called by God, and God himself confer unto them the delegation of his authority upon them. So you won't be able to have the attitude, I'm the boss, I run everything. No, God run everything. We only a delegation of his authority. And as we get further, we're going to find out we only say what God says and do what he does. And then you always stay under the attitude that God is sovereign over all, that I own and possess nothing. God own and possess everything. God rules and super rules everything. So I'm a delegation of his authority. So I'm here to work in his absence, according to his divine instruction. Remember, I say that. I may not word in the same statement, but you pretty much know the gist of what we were saying and how to understand the three requirements. Number one, what I said, that all authority belongs to God, comes from God. And anything else is a delegation of that authority. And that should be the first thing in a person that who's been chosen to be a delegated authority, one of his main requirements that he must always remember. You get in a tight spot, and sometimes you have to make decisions concerning what God wants to do. Remember, say, Lord, all authority come from you. What shall I do here? And so don't make any quick moves on your own, knowing that you don't make the decision. God makes all the decision. You just follow through, find out what God wants, and then you implement it. What I say, you just spend time with God, find out what he wants, then you implement what he wants to do. This is his business, and our job is to stay in line with the word of God. So we got number one. Number two says, he must deny himself unless we are completely broken. And that's the place people don't like to be. Nobody wants to be broken. And sometimes, you know, everybody, God had to deal with everybody in a different manner, because some take a little bit more discipline than others. I remember coming along in my family, I'm number 11. I'm the last. I'm the baby out of 11. And for some reason, I didn't go through what the rest of them went through. Why? Because when you pay close attention, class, this is a secret. When you pay close attention to what not to do from the other 10 and the punishment they got, you don't make the same mistake. I remember one of my brothers. Man, this has been a long time ago. He had just come from Vietnam, and he had come home on leave. And, you know, he stayed by my mom and dad, and the rest of us that were still younger were still in the house. And for some reason, he mishandled my dad and disrespect his authority in the house. I'm saying this to prove my point. And my daddy handled him like he was a man. He said, if you're going to act like a man, I'm going to treat you like one. And he physically corrected him. Yeah, just come from Vietnam. My dad corrected my brother and let him know that one man in this house and not going to be two men. If it's two men, time for one of us to go and I'm not leaving. So I took a little note of that. I said, I'm not going to do that. So I just want you to know, class, sometimes you pay close attention to when God corrects others. You don't have to make that same mistake. So you must deny yourself, but at the same time, you must be broken. And some of us take a little bit more broken than others. Some of us got to be broke a little more because some of us got some things that need to be purged out of us, and it's been so long, it takes a little more discipline to get it out. And so you got to deny yourself, and you got to be broken so God can know that I can trust you, and I can mold you, and I can shape you, and I can put some things in you. And when I need to call you on the carpet, I can call you on the carpet and correct you, and you'll get right back in line. All of us need correcting sometime. If you're a true child of God, we all need correction. So he must deny himself. And I'm going to say it again. Every person who's called to be a delegate authority should remember that there is no authority but of God. I said that before. But the second one is he must be broken by the Lord, and we are not qualified to be God's delegate authority unless we're broken. Let me read that again. Unless we are completely broken by the Lord, we are not qualified to be God's delegate authority. God calls us to represent his authority. Listen to this. God calls us to represent his authority, not to substitute his authority. That sounds like a good question, huh? A good test question. Matter of fact, I might make it true or false. I might make it fill in the blank. Ain't no telling what I'm going to do with it. It might be whatever I do. You remember that statement. God calls us to represent his authority, not to substitute his authority. What do you mean substitute authority? Well, you're not going to take God's place. You're not going to make decisions for God. You're not going to say something without conferring with God first. One scripture said, God said, let us come together and reason together. No, you got to get God's mind on the situation. You got to get God's mind on the subject, and you're not going to substitute his authority by saying something that God didn't say. Are you with me, class? This is so important. This is so important. So in denying yourself, we got to be broken to the point where I'm not in charge anymore. God's in charge. Yeah, I may have been used to making all the decisions for myself, but when it comes down to the work of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God and the pursuit of God, we've got to recognize that we don't make no decision when it comes to God. No, we only implement what he's already established, and we only obey him by saying what he say and doing what he say to do. And guess what? The way he say to say it, and the way he say it, one scripture say don't add or take nothing away from it, or the way he say to do it. All right, class? So you need to remember that we must deny himself. And thirdly, here's the third one. This is where we are today, class. This is where we're going to spend most of the rest of the hour talking about. Thirdly, he must constantly, and this the one that firms everything up. This the one that they kind of put the icing on the cake. He must constantly keep in fellowship with the Lord. Well, this is the one that allows us to be able to do the first two. It maybe could have been reversed in his order, but nevertheless, you get the impact of what we're saying. You can't do number one nor number two unless you stay constant communion, or another word, communion is fellowship with the Lord. You have to have that time to spend with God. And I'm not just talking about when you got a special assignment. I'm talking about a daily communion with God. I'm talking about spending time with God. Ooh, Jesus. Why did I say, ooh, Jesus? My apostle popped in my head, and I see visions of him. What do you mean, see vision? No, I envision him in his everyday functioning. And I've learned so much from him in the past years, his everyday communion with God. You know, most people have no idea. That's why God called him to do what he do, and God called him to be what he be, and God can entrust him with what he entrust him with, because he spends hours and hours of fellowship and communion with the Father. It amazed you. You couldn't keep up with the hours he spent. I can't keep up with the hours he spent with God or spends with God on a daily basis. It's a lifestyle for him. He's hooked. Possessed with following God. He possessed with God. And my words is not sufficient to be able to completely say how much time he spends with the time that we don't see. And so, class, when he speaks, you know, that's why he speaks with such authority, with such boldness, with such, I'm using this word, assuredness, that what God says is true. And when he speaks, I can see sometime when he can see when we don't see what he see. What I'm trying to say, class. You know, he spends so much time with God that what he sees in the Word, it becomes everyday practice for him. Or let me say it this way. What he sees in the Word is normal way of living for us. But most of the church hadn't caught up with it. And so when he speaks, it comes out abnormal to us because he's not in the flow like he's in. And sometimes when he speaks, he wants us to catch what he's saying. But when we haven't spent the hours and hours and enjoy the richness of his fellowship with what he's, I wish I could put it in human words, I mean spiritual words, but to explain to you. Sometimes we don't catch it as fast as he wants us to catch it. That sounds better. Sometimes we don't see it as quick as he wants to see it. And he sees it because he spent time with God and have adequate communion with God, for God to be able to show him things that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, never even have entered the heart of man. And he wants us, the church, well, the remnant that God had given him to be able to be an apostle. He wants us to be able to catch a hold of what he does and how he does it. He ministered on yesterday, you know, about how he followed his spiritual father, and the realm that he's functioning in now goes way far beyond the average church, way far beyond the average pastor. He's way beyond, and so what my point of saying is that. We need to catch up. We all need to catch up. And it comes to this third part of the lesson, spending communion and fellowship with God. I can't say enough about that. I wish I could say more in other lessons about that, because this is the secret of his ministry, because this was the secret of Jesus' ministry. So, there must not be only communion, there must not only be communication, but communion. I gotta say it again. Because there's two different things here. There must not only be communication with God, but also communion with God. Well, what is communication? Communication, is you talking to God? Is you verbalizing your request to God? is you bringing all your petitions to God. And all that's fine and all that's scriptural. Let your request be made known unto God. But when you get into the realm of communion, it's not just you asking for things. It's not just you spending time with God because you need this and this not going right. And I need direction for this, Lord. And you show me how to deal with that, Lord. And help me to get this platform together here. And help me to get this project off the ground. And help me to meet the needs of the church or my family or my health or whatever. No, you spend more time requesting than communion sometimes. And I think we're all guilty. But communion is when you're saying, Lord, I don't want nothing. I just come to fellowship with you. I just come to spend time with you and your word. And I just want to hear what you got to say. Speak to me through your word, Lord. Let your word become alive with me. Let your word become a lamp unto my feet. And let it become a light unto my path. Lord, move in my midst on a personal level. See, in church service, sometimes in church service class, it's easy to get with the flow. Or it's easy to dance when everybody's dancing, praise God when everybody's praising God. Even sometimes everybody rushed to the altar and because the awesomeness of God filled the temple. But I'm talking about in your personal, private prayer time and devotion and fellowship time, and that's the secret. That's when the rubber hits the road. That's the true relationship with God, not what you do every Sunday and not what you do every midweek service. No, that's just a part of it. But the true relationship with God is what you do in your own private closet and prayer time. I can't get that over no more than my physically person can. But spiritually, I hope you catch a hold of what I'm saying, but these are the secrets of ministry and the secret of power and the secret of authority. Yep, authority is not something just to be grasped. It's not something you inherit because my forefather and my grandfather and my daddy were spiritual leaders in the church. No, you don't inherit that through flesh and blood. It's something that God trusts you enough. And you've proven yourself enough, you spend enough time with God, the God say, okay, you've been faithful. Apostle used this scripture yesterday. You've been faithful over a few things. Now it's time to make you ruler over many. Promotion comes. Promotion comes only through communion and fellowship with God, denying yourself and understanding that God is the one in authority. So we need all three classes, and there are probably three more and four more we can add to this list. But we're dealing basically with these three qualifications. And I know we could think of 10 other qualifications. You got to be holy. Well, holiness come out of communion. Holiness coming out of hunger and thirsting after the word of God. So you can't get one without the other. And so class, you know, it's just, we're talking about digging deeper into the things of God. And that's where we are. And that was this apostolic school that apostle has formed within us and our brethren that are teaching these classes or trying to pursue and not only pursue but be able to allow you to see and to understand the result of doing what we're being taught. You see, you don't get result unless you do it. You know, you can read all kind of exercise books from front to back. You know, you can do all the mechanics of it in your mind. Yeah, if I do this, I do that. If I do this, yep, I get in total shape and I get in total health. I put all these right nutrients in my body. Yeah, it sounds good on paper, but until you put it into fundamental action, it won't do you a bit of good. And so you have to be not only a hearer of the word, but class, you got to be a doer. I hope you catch this. Got to be a doer. Apostle teaching on health. But you can listen to that meditation every day. You can take notes. But if you don't do it, you don't get the result that you're supposed to get. You got to work the word and work spiritual principles in order for you to profit with all. Now, those who are God's delegate authority need to maintain close fellowship with God. Now, that's a scripture in Luke 18:1. So if you got your Bibles, turn your Bible to Luke 18:1. It comes from close fellowship. Well, not only close fellowship, but maintaining a close fellowship with God. It's all right to start off something, but, you know, I just like people make these New Year's resolutions. Some of you all right now got New Year's resolution made. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Some of you all didn't quit already, and did just February. You didn't slacked up on it, and you didn't backed off on it. But we're talking about continuing in this. We're talking about making this a lifestyle and maintaining and let it be your maintenance of yourself. And Jesus said, 18:1, and Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Apostle taught that scripture to us years ago. That's one of the first things he taught us as ministers, way back before we even had schools, before he even was assigned to have ministry schools. Back in the day, he knew this was the foundation for ministry or any work of God that God would call to do. He said, men ought to always pray and not faint. And he always would reverse it with this statement. If you don't pray, you're going to faint. If you don't want to faint, you got to pray. Faith means cave in, give up, lose heart. Many people caving in. Many people losing heart. But why? Because they don't spend time in prayer and constant fellowship with God. And so that's a key thing, Claire. Jesus said men ought to always pray. That was Jesus' secret of his ministry. Jesus always, matter of fact, we're gonna read the scripture where sometime he spent all night with God, all night with prayer, in prayer. And if Jesus did it, you know, we don't stand a chance not to pray. No, how are we gonna make it if Jesus didn't depend on himself? Jesus depended on getting directions from the Father. And you did it through fellowship and communion. Communion, communication, and fellowship. That's how Jesus did it. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And there must be not only communion, but also, not only communication, but also communion. Let's look at Luke 6:12. You're right there. You're not far from it. Find Luke 6:12 in your Bible and see what Jesus said in Luke 6:12. I got it up in my notes here, but you find it in your Bible here. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Isn't that something? In those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And you will notice in some of the scriptures, if you read the gospel throughout, throughout your lifetime, you know, and every time I read it, I continually read the gospels, I see something different. And you're going to see a lot of time his disciples were with him when he would go off and pray like that. And what he was doing, he was teaching them his secret of his ministry, was to spend time in prayer. I know we got a prayer class in this school of ministry. An apostle assigned a prayer class so he can know that's the secret, one of the secrets of being in ministry or being a Bible student, is to spend time in prayer and how to pray effectively and efficiently. And that's what Jesus was teaching his disciples and his apostles, how to spend time with the Father. Watch me. You know, you can't tell people to do what you ain't doing. You see, so Jesus didn't only tell them to men ought to always pray, but Jesus also demonstrated that men ought to always pray. You know, every prayer meeting, you know, and I come every time the doors are open in this ministry, and that's something else you ought to do. Every time your pastor, your leader, open the doors of the church for some type of ministry, you need to be there. Because every meeting that he calls is an important meeting for your development and your enhancement and for your growth and for your maturity, or you're not going to be able to keep up. Why? Because you lost something in this meeting that you're supposed to see and hear and understand to keep you on this, because to keep you, why did, to keep the progressiveness of the revelation flowing. There's always the progressiveness of revelation. And if you don't keep up with your pastor, your teacher, your spiritual leader, then you'll miss something. And then you'll fall behind spiritually. Some people, that's why it's so important. And that's why Apostle encouraged people. See, yeah, internet is all right. But he said, don't let the internet rob you, because you can't forsake the assembly of yourself. It's something powerful when the body of Christ come together as a unity and as one. How good it is when the brethren come together. Oh, yeah, that's an anointing upon each other. That on the body of Christ. You can't get it sometime at your house. You can't get the revelation clear at if you're not in the presence of your apostle or your pastor, your teacher. You just can't get you can't get the whole manifestation of what's happening. You just don't get the whole product. You just don't get the whole package. Something is left out. When I'm here, I don't mean to stay that long, but I need to be here. Somebody might need to hear this. When I'm here in the ministry, I don't miss anything. My attention span is focused. I mean, I don't let nothing interrupt me. And my eyes is set like a flint. And every word that proceeds out of the mouth of my pastor, I'm paying attention to it. But you know, every now and then, for some reason, even if I'm out of town, can't make it to the fellowship, might be on family vacation, but I still like to keep in touch with what's going on. So I always follow the service. But when I'm there, I find other things. This is me. Maybe you're different. I find other things to do while I'm listening. I'm listening in part, but I'm not focused like I would be if I was in the present. Now, we got online members, but they follow Apostle's Secret. They get dressed. They're not in their room. They're not in their house coat. The men not in their pajamas, in their slippers, listening to service, because you're going to find something else to do because you're in your comfort zone. No, but when you dressed up, I didn't mean to stay here that long, Claire, but when you dressed up in your suit and you sitting behind your computer watching the stream online, then you're in there on purpose. You're enjoying the praise and worship. You're there on purpose, and you're listening attentively, and you're just like you're in the real service, and God honors it that way. But when you're in your casual mode, you might be having your coffee cup on this side and your breakfast on this side, and you're trying to listen to service and eat and talk to your wife and discipline your children. It's just different, class, I'm telling you. I didn't mean to say all that, but it got something to do with communion. It got something to do with your training in class. Are you with me? So we got to understand how important this fellowship and communion is that we're about to endeavor on a daily basis, class. I challenge you on a daily basis, spend time with God on purpose. Spend time in His Word on purpose. Yeah. Get you a systematic system if you need to be, if you need to have one to discipline yourself. Systematically. I don't want to say get routine, but have a lot of times Jesus said it as his custom was. As Jesus' custom was, he did certain things. So develop you a custom of doing things, a systematic way of doing something. And so it becomes a habit. It becomes a part of you. It becomes stamping you. And boy, woe unto me if I don't spend time with God. Woe to me if I don't spend my time in prayer. And boy, and you let your day be miserable when you don't spend time with God. What do you mean, let it be miserable? Make yourself miserable so you don't do it again. Say, Lord, I miss my time with you, but tomorrow I'm not going to let tomorrow catch me not with my time with you. Why? Because I purpose in my heart to do that. And that's the key. Purpose in your heart. My goodness. Purpose in your heart to spend time with the Father. Yeah. Yeah. Get close to him. Stretch your knees last days here. You just make extra effort to get close to him. If you spend 5 minutes praying the Holy Ghost, increases to 10. If you spend 10 minutes in the Word, increases to 15. I'm just trying to show you how to get you a jump start on what we're doing and how serious the days and the times are that we're in. Are you with me? We in the evil days, class. I want you to know it. So, Luke 16:12, and it came to pass that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. Now, communion, therefore, is another principle requirement for one in authority. The nearer one is to the Lord, the clearer he sees his own faults. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You begin to see yourself like you really are. Those who speak casually expose themselves as being far from God. What do you mean speaking casually? Speak without any restraint or speak without even thinking about what you say. Loose words come from a loose relationship with God. Come from loose, undisciplined fellowship and an undisciplined communion with God. So you can't speak loosely. Loosely. Look what James said. James 1:19. He said, wherefore, my brethren, take this note down. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You see, that don't come just trying to make yourself, oh, I got to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. No, that comes from spending time with God. You don't just happen to be like that. No, you do like this on purpose because when you spend time with God, you have a check that's a knower on the inside. That's the Holy Ghost on the inside. And when you begin to speak something that's not right, the Holy Ghost will speak before you on the inside of you and say, oh, don't say that. Oh, don't think that. Oh, don't do that. That comes from communion with God. Communion with God activates the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. It activates the supernatural. Communion does that. Fellowship does that. It makes the Holy Ghost active in your life. You're allowing to become active. And you make your hearing more keener. And you can hear the voice more clearer. And that's what he's talking about. You can hear clearer. And when you hear clearer, you can respond better. Then you become quick to hear. Don't always be too quick to speak without listening to what you're going to say before you say it. What did I say? Don't be quick to speak, but listen to your words before you say it, because your word got to come through your mind, your soul, before you say it. Let it go through its process. Let your word go through a spiritual process. Let your spirit discern your words from your soul. Don't let your soul just take charge. No, commune and allow your spirit to take charge. And allow your soul to take a back seat to your spirit. And the words that come out of your mouth are already seasoned by the Holy Ghost. And you speak spiritually. And you won't speak loosely and foolishly. And with like a foolish man that quick to speak and quick to rat. You see it? No, let your spirit man lead. But it'll never happen if you don't go through the period of communion. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. You become a blabbermouth. You ever heard of a blabbermouth? Always talking. Saying everything that you shouldn't say. You know, Proverbs talk about it. A man that talks too much. He said, but you see, a fool even appears to be wise if he keep his mouth shut. You see that? But if you don't have this communion fellowship with God, Paul said in one of the epistles, study to be quiet. Some people talk too much. You just talk. That's a song. You talk too much. You just talk too much. You almost make me want to sing it, Claire. You just talk too much. Sometimes you got to be quiet and just sit and listen. Are you with me, Claire? No, this ain't what I'm talking about now. In communion. I'm almost done with this, Claire. And then here it is. The fear of God cannot be put on outwardly. Only those who always wait on the Lord possess this virtue. What? The fear of the Lord. Yeah, James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let that man be quick to hear. There got to be a certain fear. Proverbs 1:17 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord. Well, you can't walk in this fear without communion. And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing. For what things soever he doeth, these the Son also doeth in like manner. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I see not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. That John 5:19, and also verse 30. So, I'm closing with this, Claire. Jesus was able to do these things because of his fellowship with God. I'm tempted to read this scripture on your own sometime, because what he does is showing you his secret here. I only do those things what my Father do. I only say those things what my Father said. I cannot myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Well, class, you've been a good class. You listen so good. You listen so good, class. And so I just want to let you know that you got to live in God's presence and be in communion with him continually and seek to know his mind. And we're going to take up on another subject next week, because I want to go further, because I only can teach what I think is more appropriate. And you got so much information. And I try to find out, listen to the Holy Ghost and see what the most vital areas we need to teach so we can get as much as we can across to you. Class, you've been a good class. I'll see you next week.